Ezra chapter 1. All right, we're going to read the first two verses to start. The first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all the kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, "Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth. He hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah." Let's pray. Father, this morning we are truly grateful for the salvation that we have in our Savior Jesus Christ. We're not worthy, and yet you loved us, and you cared, and you sent your Son to die in our place, to save our souls. Lord, that we would never get over that fact, that every day we would be in awe, that you would love us enough to make that great sacrifice, and that Jesus, you would be willing take our place upon the cross of Calvary. That the love of Christ would constrain us not to live unto ourselves, but unto him who died for us and rose again. We need this morning, Lord, to hear from you. I can speak to the ear, I cannot speak to the heart. So I plead, Holy Spirit of God, take control. Open hearts to the truth of your word. If there's anyone here that's not been born again, Lord, convict them of their need of Christ. They would come to the Savior today. And Lord, that we who are your children, Lord, would be drawn to a closer walk with you. You've promised us that if we will draw nigh to you, that you will draw nigh to us. And how desperately, Lord, we need you every day, every hour. We commit this into your hands. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. It has been said that the wisdom of the ages is to find out which way God is moving and then move with him. In order for anyone in any age in the history of this earth, for them to truly be wise, they need to determine what is God doing today, where is God moving today, and then with all their being, with all that they possess, to move with God. Here in Ezra chapter 1, God was moving. God here, as the 70 years of captivity come to a close, the Lord moves upon the heart of a heathen king, Cyrus, and he commissions the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. In verse 3, he says to the people of Israel, "Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him. Let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem." Here we see that the king, he asked the Jewish people for volunteers. Who will go? Most of the people that day, by that time, had been born there. Their home was there, their business was there, their livelihood was there. And he's now saying that if the Spirit of God would move upon your heart, if you would volunteer to go back to Jerusalem and there rebuild the temple of God, this is where God was moving in that day. And then we see in verse 5 the response. "Then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites with all them whose spirit God had raised to go up to build the house of the Lord which is in Jerusalem." The Spirit of God moved upon the hearts of individuals. They felt the need. They felt the call. They knew that the work needed to be done. And they said, "We will go. We will go and do this work that God has called us to do." Says there very specifically, it says, "whose spirit verse 5, with them whose spirit God had raised. God was moving. God was moving in the rebuilding of the temple. They said, we will go. But now notice in verse 4, after he asked for volunteers to go in verse 3, he here makes a command. He says here, and whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver, with gold, with goods, with beasts, beside the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. Whosoever remaineth. No one was exempt from taking part in this work. There were those who were to go, and all those who were left were to provide the means whereby those who were going could do the work that God wanted done in that day. Help him with silver, with gold, etc. Look at the response in verse 6. And all they that were about them, those who said, we will go, all they that were about them strengthened their hands with vessels of silver, with gold, with goods, with beasts, with precious things beside all that was willingly offered. Those who were not moved upon by the Spirit of God to go, yet they realized they could be involved. They could have a part. And they therefore gave of that which they possessed so that those who were going could go and do the work and rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. Now, it was not easy. You can read on in the next few chapters. There were trials. There were struggles. There was opposition to the rebuilding of the temple. But it was rebuilt. You can read that in chapter 6 and verse 15. And I believe the key is found there in verse 6. The second word, the little word, all. Everyone got involved. Everyone realized that they could have a part. Those who were led to go went. Those who were not going gave that they could go. You see, that day, the people of Israel there in captivity, they realized God is moving. God is moving. God is doing a work in our day, and we will move with God. And the temple was rebuilt. Now we're done here in Ezra. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. That's where God was moving in that day. Here in 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to find where God is moving today. Where God is moving today. Look at verse 4 of 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's back up to verse 3. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. He's gracious.
Yes, sir.
He's precious.
Yes, sir.
He's a wonderful God.
Amen.
To think that in this vast universe, you and I, no more than a speck of unworthy dust, that he would look our way. He would care for us. He would love us enough to give his only son. That Jesus would be willing to lay aside his glory and majesty in heaven and humble himself and come to this earth as a servant, a man. Living on this earth in a body of flesh and blood, knowing hunger, thirst, fatigue, and nowhere to lay his head. Living on this earth as a homeless man, and yet he is the maker of it all. Fulfilling the law in every point, in your place and in mine. That he might be the pure, spotless Lamb of God. To be led to the slaughter. The mutilation, the torture, the pain and the agony, the shame and the humiliation, the beating, the mocking, the crown of thorns, the scourging. He never did anything wrong. He did not deserve any of it. It did not belong to him. It belonged to me. It belonged to you. And yet he willingly took it. And he walked up Calvary's hill And there nailed on the cross, his body broken and his blood flowing. Eternal, holy, righteous God, my Creator, became my sin. And he took the wrath and the separation that belonged to me. He died in my place. And he saved my soul. Precious. Gracious. He says here in this verse, we come unto this living stone. Disallowed indeed of many, came unto his own received him not, but chosen of God and precious. A living stone. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone in a spiritual building that exists today. Spiritual, we can't see it, yet it exists nonetheless. It's what it's teaching us here in this passage. Notice verse 5. Ye also as lively stones. We who have been born again. We are lively, living stones in this spiritual house. It also tells us in the book of Ephesians that this house grows. Well, how does it grow? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The moment that you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you became a lively stone in this spiritual house, which is built upon the foundation of our Lord Jesus Christ. This building, it grows. Every time that you know someone who comes to Christ as their personal Savior, every time someone walks the aisle and trusts Christ as their Savior. As one time a lady asked me, how do you measure success in your ministry in Haiti? I said, every time someone trusts Christ as their personal Savior, that's success. That individual becomes a lively stone in this spiritual house, this house that is growing as people come to know Christ as their personal Savior. But how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they call on him? How shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? The blood of Jesus Christ cannot wash away the sins of those who do not hear. They must hear. It was shed for them. It's sufficient to wash away, but they must hear. Someone must tell them. We must be willing to go. To go. Then it says in the next verse, how shall they preach except they be sent? They must be sent. Someone who has said, I will go, he must be sent. Now, in the Old Testament, the book of Ezra, they were involved in the building of a physical house. There were those who were to go. There were those who were to send them. Today, you and I are involved in the building of a spiritual house. We also are to be going and we also are to be sending. In fact, today, you and I get to be part of doing both. Everyone can go where they're at. You know, I remember when I first went to the Ivory Coast. I traveled across the country visiting missionaries that our ministry was supporting, national missionaries. And I saw cornfields, but that's no big deal. I was raised here in central Indiana, west central Indiana. I was raised on a farm. I've seen a lot of cornfields. I've worked in cornfields. I saw rice fields. I had seen rice fields in Haiti. Then I saw the cocoa fields. You know, the Ivory Coast is the largest exporter of cocoa in the world, and yet the people who harvest it, they've never even had a candy bar. They don't even know what it's used for. It's just money to them. Coffee bean fields. Then there were the fields of the rubber trees that are the trees planted in rows and tapped for their latex or their rubber. Very interesting. As I traveled across that country, city from city to village, the fields that caught my attention were the fields that are white under harvest. Multitudes of people, old and young, wondering, will anyone ever tell them of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Wherever I travel, I see these fields.
I saw one this morning as I drove into this area. Fields that are white unto harvest. There's no amount of money that you can give to foreign missions that will pay the debt you owe to people here in this community. You must go to them. Your neighbors, your friends, your loved ones. Do we pray for them? Do we weep for them? Do we care? We must care. We must be concerned. Our hearts must be broken for lost souls. Then we're to send. We're to send people to places where God has not called us. From the time that we were missionaries in Haiti, on deputation for Haiti, even before, to this very day, my wife and I, we give to missions in our local church. We want to have a part in sending missionaries to countries where God has not sent us. We are all to be involved. We all get to be involved. We get to be involved. To going and giving the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because God is moving today. He is building this spiritual house. The question is for you and I, are we moving with God? Am I moving with God? How will we respond this morning? We've seen where God was moving in the book of Ezra. We see where God is moving today. You already knew that. How will we respond? In order to answer that question, let's go to another time in the Bible where God was moving, back in the book of Judges, chapter 4. Judges, chapter 4. We'll read here, beginning with verse 14. And Deborah said unto Barak, up, this is the day in which the Lord hath delivered Sisera into thine hand. Is not the Lord going out before thee? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor, 10,000 men after him. The Lord discomfited Sisera and all his chariots and all his host with the edge of the sword before Barak, so that Sisera lighted down off his chariot and fled away on his feet. But Barak pursued after the chariots and after the host unto Harosheth of the Gentiles. And all the host of Sisera fell upon the edge of the sword, and there was not a man left. Here we see God was moving in delivering Israel from an evil oppressor. Even though, as we read here, they won the battle, we saw also that only 10,000 men from just two tribes showed up. The tribes of Naphtali and Zebulun. In Judges chapter 5, there's a song of praise for God's deliverance. And in this song of praise, we find a few verses that reveal to us three different attitudes that were present in that day towards this battle. Three attitudes, I believe, that are also seen today in doing the Lord's work. Notice in, first of all, verse 17 of chapter 5. Gilead, this was not a tribe, it was a family in Israel. Gilead abode beyond Jordan. Why did Dan remain in ships? Asher continued on the seashore and abode in his breeches. Why did these tribes and families of Israel, why did they not come to help? Where were they? Perhaps they were preoccupied. Perhaps there were other things they considered to be more important. No doubt it was not a priority to them. We have what we call those who were complacent, a lack of care. The lack of concern. God was moving. There was no question about that. But here we have these individuals that they didn't come and participate. They did not move with God. You know, we are not called as Christians to be happy We're called to be holy.
Yes, sir.
Church is not about entertainment. Church is about edification.
Yes, right.
Our goal in life is not that we be comfortable. Our goal in life ought to be that we deny self, take up our cross, and follow Him. The purpose of the Christian life is not to find the American dream, it's to fulfill the Great Commission.
Amen.
One day, we will care. There's coming a day, it's taught in Revelation chapter 20, when the damned of all the ages will stand before the great white throne.
Yes, sir.
They will hear their sentence. They're already condemned. But they will hear their sentence that they will be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. They will see with their own eyes the one who could have been their Savior. But that day He will be their judge. We'll be there. Bible says that the believers will judge the world. Do you realize that the wiping away of all the tears doesn't happen until Revelation chapter 21 after the great white throne? What am I saying? Imagine that day seeing a loved one, parent, a child, or a friend. No hope. No hope. A neighbor. You mean you lived next to me for 20 years and you knew about this? And you never cared enough to tell me? Imagine a young person seeing a whole tribe of people that God had called to go, and yet they wanted to stay and live and make a good living here in the States, and they did not go, and these people never heard the gospel. That day we will care. That day we will weep for lost souls. That day our hearts will be broken. That day it will be too late. We need to care now. We need to be concerned now. We need to have a list of people somewhere in our Bible or in our prayer book of people that are lost and pray for them every day and ask God to send someone or maybe myself to go and share the gospel with them.
Yes, sir.
We need to pass out tracts. Do you carry tracts?
Yes.
We need to pass out tracts. We need to call and invite people to church. We need to care now.
Yes.
While we can make a difference. There were those who were complacent. Is there any phrase in the Bible that better describes our country than the phrase that says lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God? Complacent. Then we see verse 16, a second attitude. Why abodest thou among the sheepfolds to hear the bleatings of the flocks? For the divisions of Reuben, there were great searchings of heart. Here we have the tribe of Reuben, the firstborn of Jacob. Here we see that there was great searchings of heart. And yet they abode among the sheepfolds to hear the bleatings of the flocks. These are what we would describe as convicted. They were convicted. They were stirred about the need. They came to a church service in February of 2026 to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and they heard about the need around the world for people to hear the gospel, yea, the need right here in this area. And they were stirred to do something, but when it came time, they didn't go. Convicted, but not ever really getting involved. I heard a pastor tell the story one time of at the end of his message, a man walked the aisle, knelt down at the altar. Pastor went down, knelt with him, and said, "Is there something I can pray with you about?" And he said, "I believe God's calling me to preach." I said, "Wow, that's wonderful. Just surrender, prepare, and obey God." The man said, "But you see, I'm struggling because my wife is expecting our first child. I'm thinking about her future, the child's future.
My responsibility as a father to provide for her. And the pastor said, but God will take care of all that. You just need to obey God. But he did not surrender. He went back to his seat. A few months went by. He came forward again, knelt down. The pastor went to him. Same thing. He said, we've now had this beautiful young daughter. And I know God's calling me to preach, but I just feel like that I have a responsibility to my daughter. And I don't feel like I can leave my job and prepare for the ministry. Pastor said, God will provide. God will make a way. You just need to obey God. And again, he refused and went back to his seat. A few months later, the pastor got a phone call. That daughter had died. At the funeral, people were there to comfort the young couple. And the pastor said he saw something he'd never seen before. The father standing there looking down at the body of that little daughter. He took his hands, he scooped the body up out of the casket. He turned to the crowd and he said to the crowd, I can preach now. What had he done? He had counted the cost of obedience. He determined the cost is too great. He forgot to count the cost of disobedience. Convicted. And then finally, verse 18, Zebulun and Naphtali were a people that jeopardized their lives unto the death in the high places of the field. Here are the 10,000 men, what we would call consecrated. Here are the 10,000 men who said, God is moving. The battle will be hard. We may die, but God is moving and we will move with God. Convicted. And then beyond that, consecrated. You know, we talk about consecration as if we're giving something to God. Consecration is not us giving something to God. Consecration is us taking our hands off of what already rightly belongs to Him. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for you're bought with a price. Wherefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Consecrated. Hudson Taylor, missionary to China, he was back in England after many years, preaching in churches, sharing his burden, seeing city after city after city of millions of people. No one to tell them of Christ. He comes back to England and he goes from church to church and he shares the need and he gives a very specific invitation. He says, is there anyone here, young couple, young individual, anyone here that would say, I will go tonight. You feel God moving on your heart and you will say, I will go to China. And as he preached it, he shared the many places. There were young people that surrendered right at the time and said, we will go to China. And they went. He preached at one church. They gave the invitation. The first verse, no one came. The second verse, no one came. They said, this is the final verse. Third verse was sung. It was almost over. And finally, at the side, a young man stepped out and he walked down the aisle. And Hudson Taylor saw him coming towards him, towards the front. He went to meet him. But he noticed as he's walking forward that he's walking with a limp. He greets the young man. He says, why have you come? He said, well, I've come to go to China. Isn't that what you were asking for? And after the Taylor, said, yes, but I notice as you're walking down, you're walking with a limp. Do you have a physical handicap that might hinder you from being a missionary? He said, well, actually, he said, I only have one real leg. The other is a wooden leg. The Taylor looked at him and said, why would you with only one leg surrender to go to China? He said, well, I waited and I waited and no one with two legs was willing to go. Wow. Consecrated. The wisdom of the ages. Which way is God moving? Will I move with God? God is moving. The Great Commission is still the marching orders of the church today. God did not say, follow me and I will make you a social activist, a political activist, or a humanitarian. He said, follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. God is still in the business of saving souls. God is still in the business of growing His church. God is moving today and we should move with Him. Are you moving with God? Who is there among you? Let's pray. Father, this morning, quite honestly, the task seems impossible to take the gospel to every creature. And yet that's what we're commissioned to do. Lord, we all need to get involved. We all need to do our part. We all need to see the fields that are white unto harvest here at home and abroad. We all need to go. We all need to send. Lord, there could be someone here this morning that's not been born again. As we talked about what Jesus did to save our soul, we'd have to ask the question, what more could He do? He offers that salvation freely to all who will simply come and believe and receive Him as their Savior. Lord, I pray for someone here that's lost, that they would be saved. I pray, Lord, today that we who are born again, that we would be burdened about lost souls. That in this month of missions, we would look at the mission field here. It's not about home and foreign missions. It's about world missions. It's about everyone, everywhere, needing the gospel. And us simply being where You want us to be and doing what we need to be doing. Lord, we all could be greater burden for lost souls. We all could be being a greater witness for You. Help us to care, Lord, while our caring can make a difference in hearts and lives today. Thank You for the church. Bless the church. Thank You for their mission program and the work that they're doing around the world. And Lord, I just pray that You would have Your way in our hearts and lives during the invitation. In Christ's name we pray.